Je n'ai jamais vraiment su qui du Bayou ou de Molia me plaît le plus. Jardin ou cour, mon cœur ne goûte, je l'admets, que l'aigre doux. Subtil mélange s'il en est, qu'un rien bafoue. De dépit, je noie mon chagrin à coups.
The Berkshire Botanical Garden will present guest lecturer Louis Benesch for their 2014 winter lecture, Freedom and Responsibility and My Approach to Garden Design, taking place February 8th at Monument Mountain High School in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Louis came to gardening through his love of plants in 1985. He began his career as a garden designer and landscape artist. Since then, he has created and carried out some 300 projects from Korea to Panama, from New Zealand to the United States. While most of his work has been for private individuals, he has also received commissions from large multinational companies. Again, he will be speaking in Great Barrington at Monument Mountain High School in a Berkshire Botanical Garden event on February 8th, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Louis Benesch to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. Good morning to you, Dirk.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us and for joining us via phone from France. It's very nice to have you on the program. Man, it's cold here. How you doing in France?
Well, thank you very much, and it's a great pleasure for me, too. And France is milder than you for the moment, and a bit rainy, but it's still a good planting time, and I've been planting this afternoon.
So what do you plant this time of year? Because this is still your winter, correct?
It is. It is, which is a good period for planting here, when we don't have frost and no snow, and when it's mild enough to be able to plant. And what I was planting some oaks, a mixture of half evergreen, half deciduous, and evergreen oaks in a barren place, in a garden which is mainly with deciduous trees, and where I want to hide things, but but not with conifers, but with oaks. So it was just a selection of oaks that we were placing today.
And that's a good thing to use to hide stuff, I assume, the mighty oak.
It is. I love them. I'm not sure I understood your question.
Well, no, I'm saying that it is it's a good thing to use to hide other things. There is always a point and a purpose to planting something, and sometimes it's to obscure something else, right?
Exactly. So I've been using oaks. Some of them are hybrids and they are semi evergreen. One is called Hispanica, and it's a cross with the cork oak and a Turkish oak, which is deciduous, and the other one is called the Ternary, Pseudo-Ternary, and it's the same type of hybrids, too.
You are going to be speaking at the Berkshire Botanical Garden, as I mentioned, on February 8th. The
yes.
Name of your lecture is Freedom and Responsibility and My Approach to Garden Design. So talk about this freedom and responsibility, because first of all, there's the freedom part, which is that it's yours, and you pretty much can do whatever you want, right?
Not always. I'm a kind of garden listening to two main things. First, the owners, or the people who are going to use it when it's a public project, and why is what is the purpose of that garden? And also, the other thing I'm trying to listen by looking at it and by being observing is the place. And the place means the geography, but also the kind of house you have. And I love things fitting together in a simple way. So what I love to do in my own freedom is to to make the place as if it had always been there. And so I'm not playing with tricks. I'm not trying to be fussy for the fun of being fussy. Then I add what I'm calling responsibilities, apart from listening to people wishing what they want, is to create things with the adequate maintenance you will have later. And think, I don't like gardens which are becoming a slavery, and because it can, and when that, some of them can be too complicated when you don't have all the time, all the money, which is roughly the same, to look after them properly, after the place. A garden being an artificial story, and if you want it to survive properly, you have just to do, to be gentle in some ways, knowing that you can't maintain everything sometimes. And if you can, it's even more free to act.
When you, so expand a little bit on that of responsibility and how for you as a landscaper that has evolved, and that feeling of responsibility, not only for a project that you're working on for another party, but for yourself as well.
Yes, it seems to be quite heavy to talk about responsibility. There is an evident responsibility, but which is very subjective, which is the aesthetical side, and which is a kind of responsibility. But some people will like it, and some people won't, probably. But when I'm saying responsibility, just a question of maintenance, not a question of growth, because I hope I'm sufficiently professional in my way. To plant the proper thing or the proper plant in the proper place, and having an idea of what the growth will be. When I'm saying an idea, it's just being modest, because you know that you plant when you plant the same plant, I mean 3 yards apart from each other, one is going to grow better than the other one, and you don't know exactly why, but it's life, and so you never know exactly what it will be, the perfect, what will be the result, and when you are projecting a result, you might be wrong, but little wrong, and I'm not trying to do, I'm trying to do things which will work, mm-hmm. And actually I've been gardening for 30 years, and it's a bit pretentious to say, but I'm happy of what I have behind me.
And is it something, you know, because I think of it as an art form, and I'm wondering of how much of it is genetic, do you feel? Of how much of it is creativity and design and something that you were born with, and how much of it can actually be learned?
That's a very difficult question to answer, but I'm trying to be... I'm not provocative. I'm trying to be, again, contemporary in the sense of the maintenance people are able to give today is probably less than it was in my grandparents' time. And so the gardening has changed a bit, and there is a few things for purely ecological reasons which are more clever today. I'm not a Taliban at all on it. I love to mix exotic things, and I love introductions, and I love the fact of growing Chinese things on American land. But it's true that mainly when I'm working abroad, and one of my pleasure is to use the native plants, because a native plant in its native habitat will grow far much better and will be in all the cases happier than a transplanted or deported, which is a strong word, plant. Apart from a few New Zealand plants I've been trying in Portugal, for example, where they grow even better than in some places. But that's quite exceptional. And again, I'm not sure I'm really answering to you.
No, you are certainly, and I'm interested because we've been talking a lot of this as the internal and even the psychological. But let us talk about geographical for a moment. We're talking to you from France. You're coming to the Berkshires. You're going to be giving this lecture on freedom and responsibility and your approach to garden design. So, for the average gardener who will be attending the lecture series at the Berkshire Botanical Garden, and listening to you, how much of that is a comparison and is universal, has a universality to it in what you say, and how much of it is specific to A, your geography, and B, what you're allowed to do?
Yes, being allowed to do things, that's why I'm talking about responsibility, is that also on the continent I'm living on, I'm lucky enough to work in historical places, and actually I'm never trying to act as history has been acting in the way that, again, maintenance has changed, but I'm trying to be as clever as possible to respect what happened. But there are things which are not of our time anymore in some ways. And that's how you have to be creative in a new way, which is to keep all the spirits of a place in a place which has been loved for one reason and for its history. It keeps it, and it keeps the feeling, even if things have to change, but they are changing. And also the projection we have on many historical places is not totally right. We are thinking and we are dreaming through engravings, paintings, plans, or things. And then you discover that the way a painter and an engraver has been himself interpreting the site is a bit different. And on the plant point of view, you just realize that some of the plants which were planted by plants initially didn't grow properly. I have the example just in my back, next to the place where I'm living, where there is a big urban park in Paris called Les Buttes Chaumont.
Yeah.
And where on all the planting plants, because it's not an old garden, it's a late 19th century garden, an area was dedicated to the Himalayan cedar called Cedarus deodar, and there is no Cedarus deodar today. And actually, because simply the soil is so alkaline, it was built on quarry of what we call gyps, from which you do plaster. And it's a very, very alkaline part of the city. And actually, they are not totally acid lover, but they need a bit of a low pH. And the result was very poor. And I saw that reading the commentary, late 19th century, so let's say sort of 20 years after the garden was planted, through the text written by an English traveler, just laughing, our poor French people, our silly French people, were to try that plant on that site. And he was so right that it disappeared. But if people are just connected to what has been written, said, they will do the same mistake. But not, I mean, you have to know a bit. And this is quite funny because this is a garden which is new enough. So we have also pictures which are true commentary of what was planted initially and the way it grew. But even the pictures are not exactly perfectly right. And I myself, when I planned to do restoration of the garden to be not 100% historical for two reasons, which is the security of the public, because it's a garden which is open to the public, and there is plenty of places that we are considering as being terribly mm-hmm. dangerous today, and also for question of maintenance. There are plenty of little low iron fences, which were planted in the grass. I mean, there is not a gardener today who is able to spend hours by just clipping with a pair of scissors a bit of grass growing into two branches of iron cast thing. So I moved those iron cast things to place them in the paving, but not anymore on the grass. So that's not, that was a detail which is not historical.
Yeah.
But
and it's always...
it's a responsible detail, I would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's where I'm putting the responsibility. And I should...
Well, I have to cut you off because we're out of time. But I apologize. And I know you have much more to say. And you'll be able to... you're going to have a wonderful lecture at the Berkshire Botanical Garden on February 8th. It's happening at Monument Mountain High School in Great Barrington. You can find out more information by going to our website, wamc.org. Louis Benesch, thank you so much for being with us.
Well, many thanks to you.
Great, thanks. Thank you.
I'm sorry to be so long.
Oh, no, you're fine. That's great. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.